The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. David, you wanted to comment on the ship striking the bridge, the Key Bridge back east. And some interesting theories floating around about that. Any thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking that it's more likely that it's a company that's a skinflint. In other words, when I first got out of high school, I got in a union that was dealing with the barges up and down the Mississippi River. And I started out as a deckhand and ended up working in the engine room and as an oiler. And the company, I don't know if you're familiar with what a stern tube is, but that's basically where the propeller comes out to the water. And you got to keep those oiled. So I was going down there every few hours and sticking some oil, you know, some grease up in the bearings up there.
Yeah, to keep the propeller from seizing, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I thought I was following instructions and that it would, you know, you fill it until you can't fill it anymore. Well, I spent, God almighty, I spent like a half an hour and it just never stopped. And finally, I told the chief engineer about it, and he said, oh, never do that again. The bearings are shot, and we're going to send it in about a month to have it worked on. And that they, at the time, were going to spend $10,000 to do a temporary job rather than spend $40,000 doing a real job on it.
So you're then theorizing, given your experience then, that given that this ship, the Dolly, had some problems before with propulsion, you're thinking that there is most likely just poor maintenance at the the heart of this, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at East Palestine, Ohio, poor maintenance. And you start thinking about how much cargo. You've seen the photographs of all of those cargo containers. Each one of those boxes is one of those that's fitting on a railroad car. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the size of the material that a semi would handle. And so you've got one ship with, you know, maybe a crew of 5 or 10 that are hauling the amount of material that it would take 400 trains to deal with. And in the case of East Palestine, that's a train that was dealing, I think they had 107 cars on it.
Yeah, well, remember, that wasn't necessarily a maintenance problem because there was a hot box detector in it. For whatever reason, though, that, you know, that box detector did not detect the hot box in time to stop the train for whatever reason. But still, I get the point. All right, I appreciate the take on it, David. And
there's skin flints about the hot box.
Yeah, detector. Yeah. When in doubt, why would there be a skin flint about the hot box? Because they would have stopped it. No engineer wants to run it if they know they got a hot box.
Well, you never underestimate a skin flint.
Okay. All right, David, appreciate the call. All right, 10 minutes after 8. KMED, KCMD.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
It's Hip Hop Easter at Prestige Senior Living Arbor Place. Wear your best 80s hip hop outfit and join us on Friday, March 29 from 2 to 3:30 for early Easter fun. Kids will enjoy an Easter egg hunt throughout the community. We'll have snacks and refreshments and prizes for best dressed. You'll also be able to tour our community and learn more about life at Prestige Senior Living Arbor Place. To learn more, visit prestigecare.com/arborplace. That's prestigecare.com/arborplace.
Welcome back to the Bill Myers Show. 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
What a delight on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And of course, one of the biggest conspiracy theories, in my opinion, is that the election system is secure. There's nothing that needs to be done. We have it all under control. joining me right now, Catherine Engelbrecht, who is the founder of True the Vote. It's a Houston, Texas-based nonprofit organization devoted to preventing voter fraud. Catherine, but wait a minute. I'm told all the time that whenever fraud exists, it's so tiny as to never swing any election problems. Where am I right or wrong about that?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I liken election fraud to harvesting fog. You see the problems everywhere, but because over decades now, our process has been engineered to sort of institutionalize fraud, it's impossible to grab it at scale, because in so many ways, it's just become, you know, another day at the office. The lawlessness is rampant.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've had interesting changes. We're a blue hive mind state. Texas is a different hive mind, more of a red hive mind state in many ways. But I can't help but think that that voter hinky and voting hinky is a bipartisan thing. Would you agree with me or disagree? Or is it only in one direction?
Oh, no, I think that everybody that has served for more than one term in our government at any level is frankly complicit, because there are things, there are simple things that could be done. And if we really, you know, hold up our election system as the cornerstone of our constitutional republic, then it should be our priority. Elections are not meant to be perpetually broken or for people to feel perpetually uncertain. There's no reason that it can't be transparent, except that that the inaccuracies and sort of sloppy margins play to the advantage of those that know how to exploit them. And I believe that that occurs on both sides.
Yeah. I would agree with you on this, too.
American people.
Yeah. Now, something I always wanted to ask you about this, Catherine, is when did we decide in the United States of America that paper ballots and people counting them out in front of everybody, you know, in a room, smoke-filled or otherwise, needed to be replaced with electronic voting machines with proprietary software that you're not allowed to look at, and some of them hooked up to the internet, even though the claims were made they weren't with the internet? When did we decide this? Was there like all of a sudden a law that was passed some way that said that you know, paper ballots suck and we have to go to this way? Where did it come from? Do you know? You know, given the history you've had in this?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, back in the 40s, you know, it was primarily paper. Mm-hmm. And over time, we went and moved through sort of the punch cards. And just as we saw technology develop, there was a natural push toward technology in the election space. The challenge with that is that we've only kept up with technology selectively. And we've, in so doing, also at the same time that we're bringing in technology, we're pushing away citizen engagement. And so it's a recipe for disaster. And as you rightly say, we end up with, you know, black boxes that are run by third parties, and all the American people can be told is, oh, just trust what comes out. And over the balance of these last few years, we have seen repeated example about why they can't be trusted. And so it's a difficult situation, because we've created a process that does not have the manpower necessary to run a fully paper ballot process.
Uh-huh.
But yet we've got a lot of, you know, we've got a lot of processing to do with the problems we have with machines.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at the way the rest of the world votes. Most industrialized countries are voting paper ballot and a highly engaged electorate. So if we want one, we have to have the other.
Yeah, and something tells me that vote by mail doesn't help. Oregon's been vote by mail for many years, as you well know, and I didn't vote for that. I didn't think it was a good idea. Everything that's sold is convenient when it comes to the franchise ends up being an additional possibility of hinkiness. And for me, I look at vote by mail, there's no chain of custody, ever. There, you know, you put it in there, it's kind of a faith-based system. And here in the state of Oregon, I would add, I don't know if you realize this, but the Secretary of State, a Democratic Party member, of course, ended up putting in rules that made it next to impossible to audit an election. You can only audit the election if you can pay, as an example, our county, close to $1 million, because they would have to go through all of the ballots to make sure that there was nothing individually identifiable on the paper ballots that were run through the machine. Have you ever heard of stuff like that? You know, that kind of stuff?
Oh. Yes. I mean, and it's sad to say, Oregon is, you know, such a, your beautiful, beautiful state of Oregon is in so many ways the canary in the coal mine for things that they're going to sweep across the rest of the country relative to, you know, election destabilization. And so this idea, as you've just said, in Oregon, that it's already all male, but they remove the ability to do an audit that can alleviate the concerns of the public by making it transparent. They also have gone to great lengths to put distance in between where citizen researchers can normally get open through open records requests, all manner of detail of process and understanding of what's really happening. That's not offered in Oregon. And so it's you're really flying blind there. And it really begs the question, why? Because it is not what the people want on either side of the aisle. We want to be certain that our elections are trustworthy. And there are, you know, up to the point that it's shown who you voted for, which should remain private, the rest of it should be as transparent as possible to get rid of all of these uncertainties. And the fact that these states continue to double down and remove further and further and fight harder and harder against that very notion of transparency, you know, we need to be asking the tough questions of what's really going on. And then beyond just asking the questions, we must be prepared to take action.
Now, one of the actions that you're bringing up, and by the way, if you're wondering who I'm speaking with, it's Catherine Engelbrecht, and she's the founder of True the Vote. It's a Houston, Texas-based nonprofit organization and devoted to preventing voter fraud. And I would think that everyone who votes would be happy with no voter fraud, okay? And you're saying that in 5 minutes, you can at least take a step to help fix the broken elections. And something tells me this is about cleaning up your name on various voter rolls around the country, right? Could you kind of break down what is going on with your...
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, for years, we've been sort of behind the scenes doing heavy lifting, huge projects where we identify hundreds of thousands of ineligible records, and oftentimes that ends up in court, and it takes, you know, it's important work, but it takes so long. So we were really looking for what is a more bite-sized way for everybody to get involved. And that is how we got to this program, Scan, Check, Protect. So you can find this on our website. It's 5 minutes. And our hope is that we're going to reach 100 million voters within these 5 minutes. And here's how. Scan, Check, Protect is number one. We have a QR code where you can scan it. And if you're not already registered, you can get registered to vote.
Okay.
Check to make sure that your voter registration is accurate, which is not as certain as you might think. So it's worth, you know, 30 seconds to hop on and make sure that wherever you are, whatever state you're in, and we tie to all of them, that your registration is accurate. And then lastly, if you have ever moved from the state where you originally registered to any other state in the country, then protect your record by going back to those previous states and making sure that your registration is no longer active. People are amazed when they do this and see for themselves that, in fact, they are still registered and sometimes voting in states that they haven't lived in, you know, in years and years.
But somebody or something or some machine or some corrupt third-party actor is voting on your behalf, correct?
That's exactly right, and it's really close to a perfect crime, because unless you are constantly, you know, looking in the rearview mirror at anything, you know, any registration that may be open in any other state, and in this instance, it's the highly important registration of the vote, you know, you'd have no way of knowing. And so we're calling this a little bit of spring cleaning. Go back and look at the states where you used to live. If you are still registered, we provide right there on our website the steps to take, and every state manages a little bit differently, but we provide the steps that you can take to have that registration removed. If everybody did that, and then forward this same information, you can go to our website, grab one of our graphics, and forward that to 10 of your friends. If that continues, we truly can reach tens of millions. Our goal is 100 million voters, and it's a great way to get the rolls clean, because one at a time, with the person whose name has been used seeking the correction, That stuff that can get done and can get done in November, it is critical that we do this before November.
This is really interesting, Catherine. Catherine Engelbrecht, once again, True the Vote, truethevote.org, this Scan, Check, Protect. One of the challenges that, you know, when you end up talking to vote integrity people is that voter rolls do not get cleaned. And a lot of people would think that the time to clean a voter roll would be before the election. But a lot of times, my gosh, you know, people, because of state legislature action here in Oregon, and maybe other states are doing the same thing, they're almost saying that they're not cleaning anything. So the only way that you can get off the election rolls is to take yourself off the election rolls in these other places that are not cleaning the ballot or the voter rolls, correct? That's what you're saying. You're taking yourself out of the ability for being used as hinky.
Yes, taking yourself out of being used as a pawn in the many states that are not doing a good job in keeping their voter rolls accurate. And it's a sad state of affairs, but all too true, that we're in a time where, for all kinds of excuses, states just don't clean their rolls in a timely manner.
Do they do this intentionally, or is this under some misguided effort to say, well, we don't just want to bounce everybody out? Because Dr. Douglas Frank, who I talked to, he came to town a few months ago in Josephine County. He was talking in his presentation how Josephine County, for example, had 105% of eligible adults registered to vote. In other words, more people registered on the ballot or on the voter rolls than existed in the county, right?
Sure. Yes, and that's we used to do those comparisons, and typically that's looking at who's on the voter roll versus the most recent census, and that's where you come up with the numbers.
Right.
And what we learned over time was that the nation as a whole kind of settles in at about 72% of eligible population registered to vote. So from there, you know, the higher you go, and certainly past 100%, you know, eyebrows should be raised. But what states will often fall back on is, oh, but those are, you're looking at active and inactive. And inactive, that's just dead wood. That's a sort of a term of art used in election integrity world. That's just dead wood. Those inactive registrations don't matter. But that is not true, because we saw, as it played out with the pandemic, that in the, you know, flick of a wrist, new laws can be written, new processes can be introduced, where states will send their ballots to both active and inactive, and that puts everybody back in play. Even if your record is inactive and you don't have legislation that's forcing or that a state is taking it upon itself to send out ballots to everyone active and inactive, as long as that name is on the registration, it can be used. It's just, it belies any common sense best practice of data management across any other industry, and begs the question again, why? We can do better. Private industry resolves identity, residency, and citizenship in real time, all day, every day. Why is it that our voter rolls are in such shambles, unless it is to serve the purpose of those who know how to exploit those weaknesses?
And it serves the purposes of power. And this is not just the two-party system. It serves the power of the incumbency, I think, you know, whoever's in charge, really.
It serves the power of the swamp, no doubt about it.
All right. Catherine Engelbrecht, once again, truethevote.org. It's pretty simple to do. Scan, check, protect. You go to truethevote.org. And you can input your name, and it's about a 5-minute process there. And I've lived in several states across these United States for a number of years, and I've been registered to vote in all of them. And so if I do this, chances are I'll be surprised at how many places I'm still registered in. Is that kind of what you're getting at, in spite of the fact I haven't lived there for years?
I'd love to hear what you find. Absolutely. If you go to our website, truethevote.org, click on Engage. You'll see a drop down of all the kinds of ways you can engage, and near the top is Scan, Check, Protect. That will give you those quick answers, and I'd love to hear what you find.
I will have you back on, Catherine, and thank you for the tip here. TrueTheVote.org, TrueTheVote.org. We'll get the information up on KMED.com. Again, Catherine Engelbrecht, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
827. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this in Scan and see what it is, because I lived in Minnesota, lived in California, registered to vote in Washington, in Ohio. Pennsylvania for a short time, Minnesota. I did say Minnesota, right? North Dakota, you know, North Dakota too. And it would be interested to see if there are multiple mini-me's that are still on the voter rolls.
What do you really think about AI? Worried that it's about to take millions of jobs? That one day it's going to kill us all? Let's give AI a dose of reality. I'm Kim Komando, brought to you by ExpressVPN. Secure your online data and get an extra 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Kim. Regardless of how you answered my questions, one thing is undeniably true. Everyone claiming to know how AI works in business is overhyping a lot. Most large businesses claiming to be quickly integrating AI into their daily operations aren't doing it. Many can't afford it. Most don't have a clue to get started. The Securities and Exchange Commission warns about something called AI washing. That's when companies spin off tall tales that they're already using AI. But in reality, they're simply amping up the investors and shareholders. Most companies are quietly avoiding AI for now, and many are bogged down trying just to make it work. That's today's AI reality. Join 500,000 folks who get tech smart with my free newsletter every day. Sign up at getkim.com. You guys already know how ExpressVPN protects your online activity. But did you know that you can also use it to turbocharge your Netflix subscription? ExpressVPN encrypts your data and reroutes it through a server location of your choice. This not only protects your data, but also lets you control which country you want Netflix to think you're located in, allowing you to access thousands of shows that are only available outside the U.S. And ExpressVPN lets you choose from over 90 different countries. So every time you run out of stuff to watch, just fire up the app on your laptop or smart TV. Switch the country and hit connect. Refresh the page and you'll get a brand new selection of shows. It's that simple. So protect your data today and stop paying full price for streaming services while only accessing a fraction of their content. Visit expressvpn.com/Kim right now and get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/Kim. ExpressVPN.com/Kim.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Now through April, purchase one of three styles of General G-Max High or Ultra High performance tires for your modern muscle car, sports car, or sporty coupe or sedan and get a Visa reward card in the mail. Or purchase four Ultimax tires for your passenger car or crossover and get $60 Visa reward card. The Ultimax is an all-season touring tire built for long-lasting, year-round use. Save on General Tire for any of your cars you drive at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
This is Bill Meyer. Appreciate you waking up mornings with me 6 to 9 on KMED and KCMD. But I get it. Life can be busy. Sometimes you might miss a show or segment or what did that guest say again? And that's when you can catch up and stay current with my podcast. The last 3 months of shows are available for free download and sharing on KMED.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling, and they're online at ClouserDrilling.com. And thanks to Clouser, you can drill into what really happened on The Bill Meyer Show on KMED.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is The Bill Meyer Show.
It's 8:30. Ron Smith. It's running for Josephine County Commissioner. You found that True the Vote conversation pretty interesting, eh, Ron? Welcome.
Oh, yeah. I can protect up on the computer screen right now. I'm going to do that after we're done talking. I wanted to share a little post that was on Facebook that I thought was very interesting. The title is, Should the United States Ban Mail-In Voting? Mm-hmm. France banned mail-in voting in 1975 due to fraud. Mexico banned mail-in voting in 1992 due to fraud. Belgium banned mail-in voting in 2018 due to fraud. Sweden does not permit mail-in voting. Italy does not permit mail-in voting. Ukraine does not permit mail-in voting. Russia does not permit mail-in voting. Japan does not permit mail-in voting. No Middle Eastern country permits mail-in voting. And no Latin country permits mail-in voting. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I do find it interesting that, so-called the freest beacon of liberty in the entire world says that, no, you need to prove who you are in order to have the franchise, and you better be in person to do it. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I'm going to do this scan, check, protect. I think everybody in Oregon should do that in whatever state they're in. I think it's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? All those countries banned mail-in voting, most of them primarily because of fraud.
Yeah, and France, by the way, I was reading about how in France you have very engaged electorate, right? They get in there, they go in there, their precincts, they vote. And they have their results for a nationwide vote same night. They're not waiting for the mails to catch up over the next week or so, or waiting to find out how many votes that need to be fabricated, maybe, in the in the next week.
Yeah, I think we've got a serious problem in Oregon that I think the conservative people ought to get raise up and rage about it.
Yeah. And how goes the race, though, for Joe County Commissioner Position 3?
Well, a lot of things happening. There's kind of a lot of flip-flopping around and changing this, that, and the other thing. We had one gentleman said he was going to drop out, and at the very last minute he didn't. He told everybody, his brother, he was going to drop out, and at the last minute he decided not to. And it's just been a crazy election season with this charter change coming up. I mean, this is very important that we vote no on 16-117 here in Josephine County, because it's bad. Or 17-116, excuse me.
Oh, yeah. But I just think it is an absolute horrendous idea, both in Jackson and Josephine County. Both counties coming under attack. But, you know, in Joe County here, Ron, as you well know, they're trying to do the whole Monty, including the districts. They're not trying to do that in Jackson County yet, but they've already said, oh, yeah, that'll be next once they do this. And why would you allow people who are trying to upend your counties to do this? Why would you give them the ability to do this? It makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all. And it's strange that there are six counties in the state of Oregon that have five commissioners in their district. And guess what? They're all controlled by liberals.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Must be part of the plan here. Appreciate the call here, Ron. We'll have you back for another time and maybe talk about your candidacy, okay?
Sure.
All right.
Have a great deal. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. It's 8:34. Go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning.
Yeah, it's from the Iron Gate Canyon.
Hey, how you doing there, Joel? What's going on?
Well, you know, in some countries, they make you put a fingerprint on the ballot. And that way it could be scanned later if there's 5,000 ballots that all have the same fingerprint on them.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Remember, one of our other listeners said there's like a tear-off tab so that later you could associate it with the count if it needed to be.
Yeah, makes perfect sense to me. But I honestly think I'm kind of with Catherine, though, in which she says that we have the voting system we have right now because it protects the entrenched power. Now, here in Oregon, the entrenched power is Democrat, right? In California, I would say the same thing. In Texas, where Catherine's from, it would be protecting corrupt Republicans, you know, because they're the entrenched power there. And there's only one reason why you do voting like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Appreciate the call there, Joel. Let me grab one more before news. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hey, Bill. It's Lynn in Phoenix.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
Good. What's up?
Sorry.
You still there? Lynn? Okay, I think we lost her. Lynn, you want to try again? Give me a call back. 770-5633.
It's home show season. The next one for Johnson Builders will be Southern Oregon Home Show at the Jackson County Expo in early May. But you don't have to wait to get low home show pricing right now for any building you need. From a small shop to a huge riding area, residential or commercial, Johnson Builders is the leading authority on post and frame construction in the region. So get a quote on your project and take advantage of special home show pricing. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
News sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Villa with your MC5 Morning News Update. Some delays are expected in Medford next week in the latest developments for the Foothill Road project. Next Thursday, April 4th, Foothill Road from McAndrews to Hillcrest will be closed to pave the McAndrews on and off ramps. McAndrews itself, however, will remain open. It's part of the $62 million project that will create two lanes in each direction, as well as sidewalks, bike lanes, and street lighting. Drivers should expect up to 20-minute delays in the area. Traffic control will be at the Hillcrest and North Phoenix intersection. The city says the closures should not go past Thursday, though. There will also be detours available on Springbrook Road. For more on the construction schedule, visit foothillroadproject.org. Ashland Forestry officials began work on its climate adaptation project this week. Similar to the BLM's proposed project in the Applegate, Ashland has seen a large number of Douglas firs die off in the last year. The dead trees pose a significant fire risk, and fire officials want to thin the trees as soon as possible. Work has already started on the Siskiyou Mountain Park property. The city says some trails in the area will be closed starting on Monday. There will be an interactive map on the City of Ashland's website for updates on closures. You can find the link to that on our website, KOBI5.com. And for local news anytime, you can head to our website, KOBI5.com, or to our Facebook page. And that's a look at your morning headlines. From C5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Happy Thursday.
8:37, we got Lynn back. Lynn, always a pleasure having you on. What's on your mind when it comes to the RFK Jr. run?
He made his VP pick, and I've been toying with just a protest vote in Oregon for him, but he picked, I watched her speech, her name is Nicole Shanahan. She's a lovely person. She's an autism mom who clearly her child was injured by her vaccine.
Yeah, and wasn't she married to one of the founders of Google?
Google, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't hold that against her necessarily, but she's very far left, and she's very naive. And so what I'm thinking is that Bobby, when he made his VP choice, he had to know by choosing someone this far left that a lot of Republicans were going to drop off and say, I can't go there. I'm one of them. I cannot vote for him even as a protest vote now. So I'm just thinking that he's making the calculation that he would much rather have Trump get back in there than Biden. And he doesn't, you know, he wants to have an impact and be in the conversation, but he knows he's not going to win. I just thought that was interesting.
I think that's a very reasonable theory, too. And in fact, if that's the case, RFK Jr. serves a grand purpose. And by the way, this is not that, you know, everything about, you know, former President Trump's a flawed man like everybody is. You know, it's really a binary choice. It's either Biden or Trump gets in. That's the reality of where we find ourselves. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting. And Bobby does not like Trump. And
no.
But here's my double conspiracy. What if he and Trump have talked behind the scenes and he's agreed to like choose a far left VP if Trump gives him a position in the administration so he can go in there and clean house and kick butt on all the bureaucratic corruption?
You know,
that made me so happy.
Not the worst theory I've heard. I like that. That's very interesting.
That's my dream.
All right.
It's not true, but
hey, well,
anyway.
a fella and a gal can dream, okay? That's right. Thanks, Lynn.
All right, thanks.
I'm loving that. 20 before 9.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious. Pastries and espresso bar beverages for all seasons and for all reasons. Amazing March features include delicious taste sensations like their Irish soda bread, chocolate Guinness cupcakes with Irish cream frosting, paired with a delicious Irish cream brevet or a peppermint patty mocha. So many treats just waiting for you. Perfect for that office party, gathering, or special event. Get to know the family at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer or visit artisanbakerymedford.com.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
Joel here at Butler Ford, and if you're looking for a big truck with a small payment, I got you covered. Ford Super Duties are back in stock with lease deals where you can get a Ford F-250 for only $445 a month. For $445 a month, you can now tow and haul with a brand new big shiny F-250. Nobody knows how to make lease deals work on a Ford truck like Butler Ford. That's why businesses and individuals have been coming to us for years when they want a new truck for a low lease payment, like $445 a month on a new Ford F-250. And lease payments are even lower on F-150 and Ford Escapes. Butler says yes to big discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a Ford Super Duty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid, and EV.
42 monthly lease payments is 7,500 miles per year with 97.48 cash or trade due at signing. Excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle with a cap cost of $48,125. Unapproved financing through Ford Credit. Offer expires 3/31/24.
The Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
It's 8:42. A quick open for business segment. We open for business. We love locally owned businesses, and we have sponsored segments in this time, to talk about what they do so you know what's going on. Great people to get in touch. I always talk about them almost like being friends in a particular business here. You know, we got lots of sponsors, and nothing happens without sponsors, and they need sponsors. They need you, need customers. Everybody's happy. So we're here just to keep the wheels of commerce going. And Jeff is here from Quality Tree Service, and it's QualityTreeServiceMedford.com. Jeff, how you doing? Don't be nervous about it.
Doing well, Bill.
Okay.
Doing well.
Yeah, I'm not going to be asking any tough questions that you wouldn't know, Ben. I'll give you a little inside baseball. It was a few months ago. Remember I was talking about, we were crying tears in my neighborhood because I had these beautiful birch trees, and they were filled with, what is that, like the borer beetle?
It's a bronze birch beetle. Yeah. Killing all of our birch trees around the valley. Not much we're going to do about it, but it is taking a lot of our birch trees.
Yeah, and so Jeff comes over with his crew, and I had to come home and take a look at it because it's just, oh, man, every time the wind would blow, every time we get those 30, 40-mile-an-hour wind blows, that would be coming around, whipping around the hills. Linda and I be in the living room and just wondering, when is the limb going to come down, right?
Right, yeah. Them birch trees tend to deteriorate pretty quickly, so when they die, it's something you want to get out real fast.
Yeah. So Jeff and the crew came out, and they just did a great job. In fact, I think you're the one that scampered up the tree first, weren't you?
Yeah, I did climb those trees, yes.
I don't know, how do you do that? I have great
admiration. Lots of practice. Yeah, you know, long time doing it, so.
Were you a logger before?
Nope, always been an arborist 24 years. That's what I've done. Been a tree climber for 24 years here in the valley, yes.
Well, you did a great job. And you didn't drop the tree on the house, so I'm happy.
That's always the goal.
Yeah. And nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt. No, the job went really well.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, this is a great time. Are we in pruning time at this point, or
pruning season? It would have been better maybe a month ago. Fluids are moving and such, but trees that haven't been serviced in 4, 5, 6, 7 years, I suggest that we try to get them serviced before it puts on the weight. So we're at the tail end of pruning season, but it's still appropriate time to get it done if it's necessary. If I think it can wait, I'd give you a quote and we'd tackle it in the fall time. But
dangerous trees, that's any time, right?
Dangerous trees are very important, yeah, because they're going to put on that weight. So if you have big cavities in your trees, as the leaves come on the trees add a lot of weight. So those cavities, maybe it's a bird hole in there or just a rotten spot. That's definitely something we want to look for because they are going to put on weight, and those dangerous trees are just going to be more dangerous.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And how do you know if you have a dangerous tree? Can you just take a look? I know you could probably look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's dangerous.
But yeah, I guess the best way is to call me out and let me go ahead and have a look at it. But we would be looking for bird holes. You notice birds flying in and out of your tree. That means there's a cavity in there. Could be potentially a weak spot. Some mushrooms growing around the base of the tree. That would also be a very
really?
Obvious sign. Yeah.
Okay. So you're talking about mushrooms growing in the grass, but in the
Up close to the trunk of the tree. Yeah. Oh. Looking for some root rot or something like that, particularly on our oak trees. They're real susceptible to root rot. So that would be one of the earlier signs. You get some mushrooms growing down there, and you can't really see what's happening, but those mushrooms pop up, and that's a good early sign of we've got some problems.
In your experience as an arborist, Jeff, what is probably the most durable tree that actually grows well here in Southern Oregon? Because one of the problems I remember talking with Stan, the road gardener, so he was telling me that birch trees are very pretty, but they're really not meant for our, in my particular case, they're not really designed for our climate.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're definitely not native here. I always go for the native trees. I really like the oak trees. I mentioned they do get root rot, and that's if you just overwater them. But black oaks and white oaks, they're just some of the strongest trees that we have around here. Those can live 80, 100, 150 years in the right conditions. So I'm a big fan of the native trees. I think the more we can plant, the better. Keep the invasive insects at bay, because bring new trees in, you bring bugs with them. So I like longevity when it comes to a tree. You know, trees live a very long time. So,
what's the biggest tree you ever took down in all those years, huh?
I think we're out at Medco Ponds. There was a pine out there. It had a big codominant stem. It blew out, but it was about 210 feet tall. So it was probably the tallest tree I've been up. Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys make it look easy. You know?
We make it look fun, right?
I mean,
that's what it's about.
Well, you know, when you're out there, and it's sad, you know, when you have to take a tree down. Sometimes we love our trees,
sure.
and we like to keep them going, but sometimes they're just like they're in a situation, they're storm damaged, or they're rotting. They just have a lifespan like anything else.
Yeah, they certainly do. You know, I'm going to be the last guy to come out and condemn your tree. I've got options. I've got solutions. There's always usually another option. I'd say 80% of the time, you know. I'd much rather keep the tree than remove it. It's kind of last resort for me.
Yeah. Now, as an example, with that birch tree, or the three birch trees that you cut down in my property, could they have been saved earlier or not?
No. So with our birch trees, we're just kind of prolonging the inevitable. It's a flathead borer. So a flathead borer is a species killer, especially in a small valley like this. You know, we've lost, I think, around 80% of our birch trees, maybe 20% left. So there just isn't many. So we can prolong them by applying some systemics with some insecticides, but we're just kind of gaining years. I don't think we're ever going to defeat it. I think it's got to clear them out. We got to have a 4 or 5 year cool down, and then maybe we could start replanting those birches. They are really good landscape trees as far as, you know, they're attractive and stuff like that. People really like them. It adds some color to the landscape. So
yeah, I don't miss though the fear of the limb coming down anymore.
Yeah. Once the top dies, it's something you want to get out pretty quick. Yeah. Like I said, those tend to deteriorate really fast.
So all you got to do, you get in touch with Quality Tree Service and Quality Tree. Let me give the website on this again, on Open for Business, QualityTreeServiceMedford.com, and. No, do you do all the evaluations?
Absolutely. You call in, you're going to get me every single time. I'm going to come out, I evaluate the trees. I do a written quote. My quotes are good for 8 months. So, you know, if you just had some questions and just kind of wondered what your trees are like, or you think you might have some problems, I'm happy to come out. I never charge for that.
All right. Do you ever actually do tree planting instead of just taking the tree down in some cases? What do you do?
If we take one out and one tree has to go, absolutely we will install a tree. You know, I'm probably not the guy to come out and plant 10 trees, 15 trees. That's more of a landscaper type deal because that usually needs a new drip system and a bunch like that. But absolutely we will replace a tree. If one's got to go, we will come in tow with a new tree and get rid of the hazardous or dead tree and put you a nice new tree in its place.
And, of course, you don't have to have the stump, the ugly stump sitting there. You ground my stump down.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was well worth it, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's important. It keeps the insects at bay. You don't need no carpenter ants or termites living just outside your front door. So, you know, getting rid of the stump's pretty important.
Yeah, the other part about it, though, is that all that ground up stuff, if there was any fire in the neighborhood, it would burn low and slow.
Yep, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it's just important, like I said, to try to maintain your trees, I guess.
How many years you've been doing it?
About 24. 24 years. It's the only thing I've ever done. So
really?
Yep, that's it. Never had any other jobs than tree climbing.
Yes. So did you just decide one day that you're getting out of high school or whatever it is, I want to climb trees and take care of trees?
Yeah, well, my uncle owned a tree service, so it made it real easy. You know, I'm out there doing free labor all summer long, and pretty soon I'm like, oh, I'd like to get paid for this.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'm tired of this, all right? So he can help you take care of dangerous trees, and gosh, we have all sorts of that stuff going on. Did we get a lot of damage over the winter that you're aware of?
Because
Willamette Valley was nuts.
Yeah, Willamette Valley was really bad, and what really happened up there was unfortunate. You know, a lot of the trees did come down along the interstate, and those trees just aren't serviced, you know? So if your trees are serviced, you know, every 6 to 7 years is pretty average for most of our trees. Some of our trees go 10 years. But if they're serviced and the ice or snow comes, it's just less weight on the tree. The tree is more likely to withstand something like that. So it is important. You know, they add value to the landscape, add, you know, value to the property. So a lot of people overlook it. You know, we're always painting our houses or something, but you really stop and think about it. That tree took a long time to grow.
Now, Jeff, I'll tell you how much I know about plants and growing things, that much. Okay. Now, is it true, though, that when you trim a tree down that you actually end up cutting back the roots, too, if you have a tree that is growing into areas where you don't really want it to go? Is that true? Does that help?
Yeah. So, I mean, the term of trimming a tree down, one thing we don't ever want to do is top a tree, because when you top a tree or over prune a tree, you actually promote root growth. You promote all growth. And it also can start a decay process and stuff like that. So it is important to get an arborist out. There is a lot of tree topping going on around the valley. rally. It's not real aesthetically pleasing. And at the end of the day,
I noticed that it looks like someone just takes a chainsaw and just goes.
Yeah, it's
off
pretty
the
horrific.
Top.
Oh, there's too many leaves. Let's top our tree. Well, in 2 years, you're gonna have two or three times more leaves than you originally had. It just promotes all this growth. So tree topping's a no go for us. I've got better solutions.
All right, very good. And you also have systemics and other things. If you
absolutely.
Do have a tree that's a little ill,
yep.
that you can bring back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty good at diagnosing most of our problems here in the Valley. Again, 24 years here, I'm pretty in tune with what's going on.
Call them at 541-821-8594. I'll put this up on KMED.com for all the information. But Quality Tree Service, Medford, QualityTreeServiceMedford.com. Senior military discounts, you do all that?
Absolutely. Yeah, ask good. For them. I don't pretend. You know, I'll give you our going rate, and if you ask for them discounts, it comes right off our going rate.
And remember, if you get a bid in there, it's good for 8 months. Pretty good stuff.
Right? Absolutely. Good for budgeting and planning, yes.
All right. And I was real happy. I appreciate your help out there.
Yeah, we appreciate the support.
Makes life a lot more stress-free, not worrying about the tree coming down, okay? It is 853, QualityTreeServiceMedford.com. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Good having you on Open for Business. It is 853.
Purchase a new Wayne Dalton garage door and genie opener and get $150 cash back at American Industrial Door. Now through April, choose a Wayne Dalton steel door, including modern, traditional, and carriage house styles, and get $100 cash back, then pair it with a genie opener for another $50 cash back. American Industrial Door will help you find the perfect mix of style and functionality to replace your old door. See the possibilities at America Industrial Door showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue in Central Point and in Grants Pass on Union Avenue.
Are you a renter? Do you know that for the price of a pizza, you can purchase insurance to protect your life's possessions? Your landlord's insurance won't cover your belongings in a fire or theft. Make sure to protect yourself and your valuables. Buy renter's insurance. It covers your belongings, provides liability protection, and may pay for additional living expenses, such as hotel bills or restaurant meals, if a covered loss forces you to temporarily move out. Renter's insurance is affordable. It often costs less than $20 a month. Ask your insurance agent or company about multi-policy discounts when purchasing renter's insurance. The Division of Financial Regulation has a shopping tool to help you compare renter's insurance policies. Go to dfr.oregon.gov and type renter's insurance into the search bar. Spending that pizza money on renter's insurance will protect you when you need it the most. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Home and business owners prefer to work with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Free estimates, affordable, efficient, friendly, fast arrive on time, finish on time. You can count on us for quality roofing. Call us today. Get your estimate tomorrow. 601-9108, CCV number 230-804.
If you're going on a spring road trip, click on the travel report on KMED.com. We have changing road conditions, road cams, and gas prices throughout the region. Be prepared with the travel report on KMED.com. Sponsored by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Nominations are open for this year's Bi-Coastal Media Best of Southern Oregon contest. Nominate and support your favorite businesses now through April 3rd at bestofsouthernoregon.com. There's nearly 200 categories to nominate all your favorite suppliers of goods and services. Whether it's activities and entertainment, business services, home and garden, shopping and more, there's a category to nominate all of your favorites. So visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today. Nominations close Wednesday, April 3rd at 5 p.m.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
You know, we haven't had a Two Dogs Fab dad joke of the day here yet this week. I got to do that right now. Two Dogs Fabricating, local dealer for Iron Bull Trailers made by Northstar. They'll transform your truck and trailer into the ultimate work rig, too. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. And let's see, Talent Tony contributes a couple this morning. I took my wife to Seven Feathers last week for our anniversary, and it didn't cost me a dime. I took the freeway. All right. And Confucius say, man who loses key to girlfriend's apartment gets no nookie. Talent Tony, appreciate you submitting it. Go to twodogsfab.com and submit that joke, all right? Now, no joke here. Let us bring her in. We need to have her theme, though. Lucretia, you're going to wrap up Conspiracy Theory Thursday, so your time is special. Be careful with it, okay?
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Oh, boy. This is about 5G, and basically
Renee Sunim, I think is how you say her name. She was a mayor of Nevada City. Mm-hmm. She was the only elected official to initially and publicly call out California Governor Newsom for the illegal statewide mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
She also now had a friend when Horizon wanted to put in like seven big 5G towers mm-hmm. all around Nevada City. Her friend that was way high up in the cellular, you know, all these cell phones, said that they're not just pouring them down at the city at 2%, they're at 6%. This is a weapon. I mean, not only for everybody on the second level, especially, but all the homes around the area. Well,
you know, you say they're pointing the signal down. Of course they'd have to point the signal down because that's where the signal needs to go. I mean, directing RF radiation to where you want it to go is nothing unusual, Lucretia.
But in Ashland, where anything over 100 really starts really damaging the brain of the children, you know, by Tolman Creek, that one is at 2,500.
2,500 what?
It's whatever the power of the frequency. I don't know mm-hmm. how you take these things, but they tested them. And the cell towers, once they put in, they don't test them anymore. They just say, well, this is what it is. But
It's FCC type accepted. You know something, Lucretia, this is one of the biggest, stickiest wickets. There are many people who call me. They're really concerned about that. There is one way and only one way to really deal with this, and that is engaging in lawfare. And if people have to organize, and they're going to have to sue, that's really the only way it's going to work. You do understand that, right?
One last thing is Dr. Group also said they're not 5G. This is not about providing cell services. This is directed energy weapons against the people. And as you know, I've said many times calling up that Sidney Brzezinski said if any region gets out of control.
Okay. Now, I would assure you that if you were to go and examine those little barrels that are going up there. They're not directed energy weapons. They are 5G radio transceivers in communication. And we cannot, now we can call, you can call it or you can make that claim of it being a directed energy weapon, but it's a directed energy weapon that you're able to make a cell phone call on. So I don't know, you know, where you go on this. If there's big claims, there has to be big evidence. And if you have big evidence, you got to hire big lawyers, and that's all I'm going to say about that because, you know, because otherwise you're just, you know, calling the talk show, and if you have the evidence, hire the big lawyer, and the big lawyer will be happy to sue on behalf if there's truly that that kind of a situation going on. That's all I would recommend, okay? God love you, Lucretia. I got to go because I turn into a pumpkin in, well, my directed energy weapon goes off because it's the top of the hour, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
All right, you're welcome.